Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you. Welcome to Radio Ma'arif. You're listening to Question and Answer. I'm here with Mr. Barati, and we're hoping to be of service to you with answers to your questions about philosophy, about ideology, etc. Also theological questions. The email address through which we can be reached is radiomarifen@irib.ir. You can reach us through the following telephone number, which is 0098-251-291-0551. Okay, Mr. Barati, I welcome you. Are you ready to start with the program?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm ready to listen to the questions and answer.
Okay, I have the first question for you. This was sent in by some listener. It's a very practical question, I think. Are all names of Allah identical to His essence or not?
I don't know what you mean. If you mean that all of them refer to His essence and refer to Him, names of Him, yes. But if you mean a deep and sophisticated meaning, a philosophic and theologic meaning, no, we can divide them in two parts. Some of them refer to His essence, and some of them refer to His, for example, actions or behaviors or treatments or relations with other creatures and so because of that, they have divided attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different divisions, like attributes of essence, attributes of action, and other divisions.
And how are these called in Arabic, if I may ask?
Sifatul Zat, Sifatul Fi'l.
Mm-hmm. So Fi'l means to do.
Yeah.
And Zat means essence.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you try to elaborate a bit more? For example, why is it that the Sifat al-Fa'ili, which are the attributes of Allah, which shows that He does something, why can this not be identical to His essence?
Because when we want to have complete meaning, we consider Allah and consider some other existence, and some of relations or actions between Allah and these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a combination between all of these concepts which makes this attribute.
I see. And would you be able to name some of the sifat of dhati, the attributes of Allah, which are which show His essence?
Like Rahman, Rahim, mm-hmm. Like, for example, Sami, Basir, like omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience. These are for the essence.
Mm-hmm.
But some which show some actions or practices, they are practical attributes or sifati fa'ili or sifati fi'ili.
Would you be able to give some examples of
yes,
that?
Like raziq.
Mm-hmm.
For example, nourisher, or for example,
sustainer.
We can say, for example, hafiz, protector,
mm-hmm.
or guardian.
Mm-hmm.
These are sifatul fi'l.
I see. And this is a question which is related to this one. We received this one as well. Are the sifat of fa'ali, are they the creation of Allah? Can they be considered as something which He creates, which He makes out of nothing?
By somehow, yes, because the creation is like this also. There is a relation between Allah and another being which is called created or creature. Yes, these are relations or links between Allah and other things or other actions, yeah.
So does that mean that they are restricted by time and place? Are they limited by time and place?
For sure, yeah.
Okay. So they are temporary.
Yeah.
I see. And how about the sifat dhati? Is it something which is created or is it something uncreated?
No, they are parallel with the essence and they are existing with Allah.
I see.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in a deeper consideration, they are not different from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
There is a different consideration or different concept from us. Sifat-e-zat or attributes of essence are the essence itself,
mm-hmm.
but in different concepts, in different considerations, in different, for example, comprehension. So they are the same with the essence.
So the sifat fa'ili can never be considered as the essence itself.
No.
Okay. Could one? Yeah. Would it be correct to say that a person can, if he's sick, for example, can he be cured through the sifat fa'ili? Or is this only the essence of Allah himself who cures a person?
Both of them are true, because mm-hmm. sifat fa'ili are derived or are created or are, for example, done by the essence.
Mm-hmm.
The essence is the creator, is the actor, is the, for example, the one who practices. All of these are different concepts of our, for example, mind
mm-hmm.
and intellect, which has, for example, looks from different dimensions or horizons and look to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes considers itself alone and sometimes considers it in relation with others or mm-hmm. with a particular thing or with a particular action.
I see.
There is no difference and, for example, number or, for example, numerous aspects or beings, only one.
Mm-hmm.
And even we consider the whole world one of actions of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there is nothing but God
mm-hmm.
and his attributes and actions and creatures. So there is no independent world, even world. How about actions and practices? Practices are not independent. All of them are related to Allah, are depending to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is one essence, one real existence, which is called Allah, and others are his actions, his creatures, his, for example, doings, and so on and so.
So if a person becomes ill and he goes to the doctor for treatment, and the doctor gives him medicine and he cures the person, is it that through the sifat fa'ali or dhati that he becomes
cured? Fa'ali, because all of the causes and reasons, the mm-hmm. chain of causes in the world, are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
So here is in the same time that you are considering that the medicine is giving cure to the ill person, in the same time you can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured this person.
Mm-hmm.
But through his actions, through his causes, through his, for example, instruments or mediators, which are this chain of causes and caused.
Yeah. Do the sifat fa'ali, the attributes of action of Allah, do they have an independent existence or are they a relative existence?
This is what I told
you. Yeah.
That if you don't consider somebody, for example, competitor
mm-hmm.
or an independent existence or a partner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the, for example, explanations or expressions or, for example, words or sentences or phrases are valid, no problem.
Mm-hmm. I see. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu. would like to move on to another question. Why is it not possible for Allah to have limitations? Why not? And even if he's limited in some ways, in relation to us, he would still be absolute and capable of everything.
Yeah. This is the mistake that most of the worshippers or religions, or even some of the revealed religions later on, they made this mistake. They wanted to bring Allah close to the man and to the mind of man, to the intellect of man. Because everything we know and we understand and we feel is limited. So why Allah is not limited? This is the mistake, the common mistake, even some philosophers or theologians or religious leaders, they make this mistake. But in this way, Allah is not the one which we suppose. We suppose in the beginning that there is a source for the whole creation, for the whole world, for the whole universe, which everything in his existence needs to him. And this does not need to anything else.
You mean they are dependent?
All of them are dependent to him, and he is not dependent to anybody. This is our first theory or our first thesis when we want to start and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The source of universe, the source of existence is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in any way, he does not need to anything else. Allahu samad. In the chapter of Tawheed, we recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ samad. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Allahu Samad means this, that everything needs to Allah, and Allah does not need to anything. So if Allah is limited, you can easily notice that everything is limited, needs to its limits. Without its limits it does not exist. First. Secondly, it is divided. It has parts. Because everything limited is a combination of these limits, essence with these limits. So, is not unique, is dividable. Okay? It has parts. Mm-hmm. And it is against our first thesis, which we suppose that we are looking, we are searching for the source of existence, for the thing that everything needs to it, and it does not need to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So this is against even our first thesis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not possible to concept him, because our mind has limitations,
mm-hmm.
as you say, limitation. First of all, the mind which is trying to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has limitations. So one limited thing, how can understand a limitless thing?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot concept it. Even it is hard for us to suppose it. So because of that, but in this way, which I told you, you can understand that it is against our first thesis that we wanted to find somebody limitless. If he is limited, is like other things. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. It is a very deep and nice notice to you that you are looking for a unique existence, an upper existence, a limitless existence. Please, when you are looking for this kind of existence, don't give it limits or similarities to other things. In this way, it is not the thing you are looking for, because you are looking for somebody different, something different, which everything comes from him, and he comes from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything needs to him, and he needs to nobody else. If he is limited, he needs to his limits. This is the first problem for this kind of, for example, thesis or suppose you make. So it's not possible. In Islam, in pure monotheism, in Abrahamic monotheism, in philosophic monotheism, it is not possible. And Quran has, in a very simple and smooth rhetoric refer to it. Allahu Samad. As-Samad, you don't lose this. You don't give up this. As-Samad. Limitless, needless.
And eternal.
Yeah. The eternal, maybe another kind of commentary, but the deeper and wider meaning of Samad is needless.
I see. I see. Then I have a question for you myself. Could you give an explanation of what relative existence is and what absolute existence is?
Relative existence means that it is needing, it needs in his existence to another thing. I referred to it in my speech, in my answers. Relative means that it is not independent in his existence. It needs to other. It is related to other. So without the other is not existing. So means that needs to other thing. And absolute means that needs to nothing. It is independent in his existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent in his existence.
I see. And relative existence, which we have, could it be considered as being real? Or is it something which is an illusion?
No, it's real. We consider all of them real. In a ordinary concept, in a typical concept, which all the people have, we cannot say that the world is not existing, we are Sufists. They have real existences. But this real existence, when you compare it with the existence of Allah, which is absolute, absolute, without any limit, this likes as a shadow. This seems to an illusion. But no, it is reality. It is reality.
لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله
Is it possible to reach annihilation within the essence of Allah? Or is this impossible?
Never.
Never.
When we say Samad, all of these meanings, we contain it in our concept. That there is no need, no Adam, no annihilation in his existence.
Maybe it would be a bit more correct to state another question before asking this one, because this one is related to the concept of Wahdatul Wujud, if I'm right. There are different views on this. There's a theological view on Wahdatul Wujud, there's a philosophical view, and there's also an Irfani view, and this is related to the Irfani view. Within the Irfani view, there are different views on this also. Some of the people say it's possible to merge into the being of Allah and you lose all of your own individuality. You have no more will. Your will becomes one with Allah too. And basically, there's no more difference between you. The only thing which you have is a name. Nothing else is there that separates you from Allah. Then there would be another view, another Irfani view that would say, okay, then you have Allah. It's not possible to merge into his essence, but it's possible to merge into his greatness. It's like you understand how dependent you are, and basically you are nothing compared to Allah. I don't know, if you compare these two things to each other, which view in your eyes is most correct. But first, would you be able to explain what Wahdatul Wujud exactly is? Because for a lot of people, I think this might be a term which they never heard of before.
Yeah, these are not usual for ordinary people. These are very specialist debates and discussions and topics. Only students of philosophy and mysticism need to discuss about them. For ordinary people, which are our audience,
mm-hmm.
we can say that all of the meanings in its place maybe seem correct,
mm-hmm.
but they have to explain what they say,
mm-hmm.
and they have to have their own terminology.
Mm-hmm.
In this contemporary age, we know that there are different terminologies. There are different lexicons, dictionaries, encyclopedias,
yeah.
and everybody explains what he means of this term in this book, and says that when I say Wahdatul Wujud, I mean this. For example, if it's a theologian, says when I say Wahdatul Wujud in my book or in our knowledge, in our, for example, branch of knowledge, we mean this. And also mystics and also philosophers and others. Without knowing the meaning of terminology and which one is, for example, meant, we cannot judge upon it. So maybe everybody means a true meaning, but he has to explain it for the listener to don't make a mistake or make him perplexed or like this, perplexity. Maybe there are different true and right meanings for Wahdatul Wujud. Wahdatul Wujud is, by any meaning you take it, it means that there is no independent existence for the world rather than relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the whole world has a relative meaning, as a relative existence. And the only one which is independent and is omnipotent, omnipresent, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By different meanings. Some of them mean real relations between creature and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them mean some educational or mystic or ethic meaning for people. For example, some of them mean something you should, for example, bring it to reality or achieve it. Some of them mean that something is existing in the world. You should understand it. But anyway, this Wahdatul Wujud is not so popular and so common between people, which needs to explain. If we are talking with students of mysticism or theology or philosophy, then we open another field of discussion for it, and we, for example, make challenges or debates or discussions, mm-hmm. or dialogues about it. I don't think that it is so much necessary or popular or a daily need of people to discuss about it. And it made a lot of controversy, a lot of division, a lot of dispute between the society, because they discussed it in front of people which are not capable to understand, mm-hmm. it, which are not, for example, a student of this knowledge. And I remember that Jesus Christ told to rabbis of Israel that you hide it from mystics and from, for example, people who are understanding, philosophers, and you say it to children and ordinary people. Mm-hmm. This is not good. We have to talk with everybody in his own language, his culture, and his level of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
This is better. By any means, Wahdatul Wujud is this, and Wajibul Wujud is another meaning. Everything we concepted in our mind, when we compare it to existence, compare between the concept of existence and concept of this thing, which we have understood in our mind, three modes could happen. Either this concept in the existence is wajib al-wujud, or mumtana al-wujud, or mumkin al-wujud. Wajib al-wujud, which is the one which is necessary to be existing. No way that it does not exist.
It's for sure, existence.
For sure it exists.
Mm-hmm.
You mean? I repeat what I told.
Okay.
You have a concept in your mind. You concepted something. Okay? Then you want to know, does it exist or not?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is the relation between this concept and existence? Could it come to the existence? Could not come to the existence? Maybe it comes to the existence. Maybe it doesn't come to the existence. You are comparing this concept with the existence. When you compare this concept with the existence, three moods could be supposed. Not That's more and not less possible. Yeah. Either this concept is necessary to exist, could not be annihilated, should exist. This is wajib al-wujud. No way to be, for example, destroyed. It should exist. This is wajib al-wujud. Or when I compare it to the existence, no way to come to the existence. It could not exist. It's not possible to exist, this concept. This is mumtana al-wujud. Or when you compare, it is possible to exist or not exist. For example, creator. Creator is a concept. When I compare it to the existence, creator for sure, 100%, should exist. If not, there is no world. So this is wajib al-wujud. Necessary. A necessary existence. It has necessity with it. Necessity for existence. No way to, for example, neglect it or ignore it or say no is possible to not come to the existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator. Or is not possible to exist, like Sharikul Bari, partner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way to exist. Other things, when we compare them to the existence, could exist, could not exist. For example, me, the person I'm talking, I can exist, I cannot exist. In a period I'm existing, another period, I'm not existing. So, existence for me is possible. Is not necessary to not exist for me. Is not necessary to exist. Is possible. If there is a cause, I come to the existence. If there is no cause, I stay in annihilation. This is another meaning. This is different totally from Wahdatul Wujud. Wahdatul Wujud is that the whole world is one set, is one existence. And everything is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is unity of the world,
mm-hmm.
which is very important in monotheism, in Tawheed. In different levels and kinds of Tawheed, monotheism, this Wahdatul Wujud is important. And this is what is lost in today's world, in contemporary world in the West, in epistemology and philosophy.
What is epistemology?
Epistemology, how man can understand things.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge which is studying about the concepts of man, knowledge of man, how man understands and feels the reality. This is epistemology.
Mm-hmm.
Or cognition, studying the cognition of mankind,
mm-hmm.
how you understand things. How you grasp things.
Yeah.
What are the ways, the methods, the channels you get information from the world,
mm-hmm.
and how you analyze them. This is the knowledge which is the gate for philosophy, for theology, for different human sciences. They call it epistemology. Students of philosophy read it. And, for example, logic could be a kind of epistemology.
Mm-hmm.
Logic. For example, old logic or modern logic is a kind of epistemology. So, I was talking about Western epistemology, yeah. Western cognition, Western knowledge, Western, for example, understanding of the world. This is their basic problem. They cannot suppose the whole world one system, one set. They study the world in different parts, in parts, not in universe, not in general, not as a system. This is their own problem. All of this human sciences in the West and also pure sciences in the West, they suffer this problem. Because all of them, for example, like I bring for you an example. If you have, for example, a camera, which this camera is very narrow. The window of this camera is very, very narrow. It gives you only small views.
Mm-hmm.
So you can study by this camera only one table here, or one mosaic, or one ceramic, or one, for example, chair. Small, small. This camera does not give you a wider concept. You have to study everything alone, one by one by one, and not in relation with others. But if you have a wide camera, which the window of camera could become wide, you can have the whole scene in one picture,
mm-hmm.
and find the relation between different parts of this picture and this scene. The problem of contemporary knowledge in the West is that they have a narrow camera, not a wide camera.
It's a bit like an example that Al-Ghazali made. He said there are some persons, some scientists, who study a specific field, and they think that this specific field gives them all the answers they need in life. And it's a bit like people which are blind, for example. A group of people who are blind, they are given an elephant. And all of them are given a specific part of the elephant to feel. And later on they are supposed to conclude what is in their hands. So, because one person will not be able to make a complete view of things or have a complete grasp of what reality is, the one person might think, okay, I have a carpet in my hands. Another will think, I have a piece of leather in my hands. And another will think, I have a stick in my hands. Well, none of them have grasped reality because the way they look at things is too limited. They don't have a complete view of things. But, yeah, I think this kind of concludes this.
Yeah, Wahdatul Wujud is correcting this kind of view and this kind of concept and gives you a wide and a unique and universal concept of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Balati, yes. Thank you very much. For me, this was a very interesting session with you. I enjoyed it. Before I say goodbye, I would like to give you our telephone number and email address. Our telephone number is 0098-251-291, 0551. You can also reach us through email, as we said before. The email address is radiomarefen@irib.ir. Thank you very much for listening. في أمان الله.
يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا علام الغيوب يا كشاف الكروب يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب سلام الغيوب يا كشاف الكروب يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا ستار الهدى.